In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it's been now 50 days since Pascha. And on this day, of course, we celebrate Pentecost. Basically, the Great Lent is around 50 days, including Holy Week. And then we have 50 more days, and we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, I thought about this actually several weeks ago, but it's also apropos now, especially in light of the gospel that we read today. We've had 50 days after Pascha, and what have we done in those 50 days? Have we done something so that our soul would be more pure, more holy? Have we drawn closer to God? Have we learned something of Him? Have we changed something in us that needed changing? Have we appreciated the holiness, the greatness of the feast? Has the resurrection resounded in our hearts? Of course, the reason the resurrection can resound in someone's heart is because of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord's work was not complete until He sent the Holy Spirit. Really, you can't say that any part of His life was more important than the other. He had to be born. He had to teach us. He had to commission His apostles to be able to continue the teaching. He had to rise from the dead in order for us to be able to defeat sin and death and to ascend into the heavens so that we could ascend bodily and be there with Him in eternity. And all of these things are possible because the Holy Spirit is given. Now, the Holy Spirit is given, but the Holy Spirit will also go away. The Holy Spirit only abides where there is a desire for purity, a thirst. That's why the Holy Spirit is portrayed as a dove. A dove is a clean animal. Unless forced to, it will not soil its own sleeping and living area. It is a clean bird, and the Holy Spirit is clean. So we must strive to be clean if we want the Holy Spirit to abide in us. Also, the Holy Spirit is likened to be water. Well, water cleans things, refreshes things, enlivens things, washes away dirt and soil. And so the Holy Spirit does that with us. But water is only good for us if we drink it. If we do not drink it, then it does not do us any benefit at all. And so the Lord says today, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Well, the drinking that he's speaking of is drinking of the Holy Spirit, the living water, because he goes on to say, he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this living water is the Holy Spirit. Now, for the ancient Jews, the belly was considered the place in which the heart resides. And the belly is a good metaphor for our entire life, because after all, the belly desires things, and it can desire too much. And if it desires too much, the body becomes corpulent and fat and loses sight of God. So the belly can be thought of as our desires, our way of life. So if the Holy Spirit abides in the belly and flows out of the belly, that would mean that the whole man is clean and has good and clean and healthy desires. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to help us to be clean, to speak to us, and for us to hear Him, not with our ears, not even with the conscious part of our mind, but with the higher part of our mind that speaks with God and that directs the soul in ways that we cannot understand but bring us close to God. The Holy Spirit, I think, is also likened to be the still, small voice. Of course, he's likened to be the wind, which means he's fierce and strong, can go anywhere that he pleases, but also the still, small voice. Saint Elijah, after he had killed all the prophets of Baal, became afraid. And then he was visited by the raven, and then he went for 40 days to a mountain. And in that mountain, there was an earthquake, a flood, and a fire, but God was not present in those things, those gigantic and large and powerful things. And then he heard a still, small voice, and God was present in the voice. Now, the Holy Spirit is like that. He is a still, small voice. He's powerful. And he is wind. And he is water. And he is fire and burns things, burns away sin. So he's not weak by any means. But the way he expresses himself to us is always quietly. So you have to be quiet to hear him. You have to listen to hear him. And the way you are quiet is by quieting down your passions, by not having desires for things that are not according to God, but for things that are according to who he is. So the Lord says, if any man thirst. This is very similar in phrasing to his call when he says, if any man will, let him take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. So it is up to your will. Do you thirst? And I speak a lot about this. I hope it's not too much, but it's very important. Be honest, I speak about it to myself every day. Every day my aim is to learn to thirst. So that's why I speak about it to you, that you must learn to thirst. You must cultivate your thirst. You must, every moment of your life, feel deep, critical need for God. You must feel your incompleteness without him. You must feel lost without him. And you must desire him above all things. But this is a difficult thing to do because we're very distracted. I talk to many of you. Some of you don't even read the Bible every day. How can you thirst if you don't read the words of life? You must pray. You must fast. You must read the scriptures. You must struggle against your passions. All these things will increase your thirst. They're not exercises to do because they're required by some master over us. They are necessary so that we can focus ourselves on God. All that is life is God. There is no life outside of him. All that is real is God. Everything else is a fantasy in this life. The only thing that lasts, that is permanent, is God. Everything else will go away. And yet we focus ourselves on temporary, impermanent, ungodly things, moment by moment. This is a common human affliction, even for people who pray quite a bit. So it's common for us. And if you're honest with yourself, I pray very much that you would see this in yourself, that you engage often in frivolous things. Now, what those frivolous things do is they decrease your thirst for God. But the Lord says, if any man thirst, let him come to me. You won't come to God unless you're thirsty. Now, all of us would say we believe in God, but how much are we thirsty for God? How much do we desire to be filled with him above all else? How much are we willing to give up? How much of our time are we willing to spend? We have just had 50 glorious days in which we spoke basically daily in the church about enlightenment, about how the resurrection suffuses itself into the human soul and makes it alive. It comes bit by bit. And we had all those examples on the Sundays of Pascha, and also really throughout the week, because really St. John's gospel is a gospel of enlightenment, how enlightenment occurs. And here is another example of how enlightenment occurs. You must thirst. You must cultivate this thirst. This is very critically important. And if any one of us says that we thirst after God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, then we are liars. We don't, with all of our heart, soul, and mind. But may God help us to attain to this. So, cultivate thirst for God. And the Holy Spirit will help you cultivate this thirst. If you're not fasting, it's time to begin now. After this week, which is fast-free, we begin the fast. That's very important. Not as some sort of external rule that you follow if it's convenient, or follow before you have communion, or, you know, sometimes do, sometimes don't. But because it will cultivate thirst in you. And this is all important. You must have thirst. Every day you must cultivate your thirst. This is very, very important. So if you're not reading the scriptures, you're cheating yourself. If you're not fasting, you're cheating yourself. If you're not praying with as much attention as you can, as regularly as you can, you're cheating yourself. And you're not cultivating your thirst. Now, human thirst for water is a natural thing. If you're outside in the sun for a while, you begin to be thirsty. Then you want to have water. Spiritual thirst is not like that. Spiritual thirst must be cultivated. You must be continually aware of your need for the water. And you must desire it. And then do things that will bring the water to you. The Holy Spirit will abide in a clean place, not in a dirty place. So if you are filled with dirtiness in your thoughts, in your actions, in your priorities, in the way you live, then the Holy Spirit will not come to you. Now, I don't mean dirtiness just in terms of some sort of terrible sins that we would consider to be unclean. There is uncleanness in the human soul when it is not desiring God above all else, because that's what we were born for. Anything else is second rate. So cultivate in your hearts thirst, brothers and sisters. This is very important. And why? Well, because the Lord says at the end of this reading, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." You were born to be in the light. You were born to know God intimately and personally. Do you think about that every day? Is that important to you every day? Or are there other things that you're doing each day and you're not often thinking that you were born to be in the light? You were born to not be in darkness. Do you feel the darkness? Do you see it? I do every day. I hope you do too. There's darkness outside in the world, certainly. But there's also darkness that we allow into our souls. Do you feel it? It's cold. It's filthy. It smells bad. Do you feel it? Do you want to be away from it? Do you sense that it's very dangerous to you? It is. Now, if you don't sense these things, if this does not occur to you every day that you're an incomplete person and that you're walking oftentimes in darkness, if that does not occur to you, then you must cultivate your thirst. Because I tell you, among the holy, it occurs to them every day. This is not that we are always down in the mouth and feeling terrible about ourselves. The world would like to lampoon true Christianity as being that. It's about feeling bad, not having any fun, being rigid. It's none of those things. Christianity is the thirst for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads us to light and away from darkness. So if you are truly to appropriate this gift that is given to us on Pentecost, you will cultivate your thirst. If you do, just try it. If you're not reading the Bible much, read it. We're going to start reading Matthew as a parish now. Half a chapter a day. It's 28 chapters, 56 days. So read a half a chapter of Matthew a day. And when you read it with the intent that God would teach you something. Something you need to know in those words. What is it? It's different for you and for me and for everyone else. And it's different for each one of us on a different day that we read it. God will speak to you in the still small voice, but you must be still in order to hear it. You must cultivate this thirst. If you do this, then truly the gift of Pentecost will become a water springing up in your belly to eternal life. May God help you to cultivate this thirst. Amen.